the seventh chapter of St. John. Others said, "This is the Christ," but some said, "Shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was?" Christmas traditions are determined by the way we are brought up. Mother or grandmother did this or that. They also cause marital discord. The rule of thumb is this: Thanksgiving is spent with one set of in-laws, Christmas with the others. If the in-laws live close together, as is often the case in Iowa, Christmas Eve is spent at his folks, the morning at home, and the afternoon at her folks. If the parents are divorced and remarried, your problems increase geometrically. Recently, a bride was escorted down the aisle by her father and first stepfather. Her third stepfather sat in the pew with her mother. The second stepfather, I assume, was not in attendance. The newlyweds will be spending a safe Christmas home alone. A real adjustment for many seminary families is being away for Christmas for the first time. You are spending it with people you met for the first time in summer Greek. Fourth-year students know that they will have their own parishes next year. Perhaps this could be the last year to go home. Nothing teaches us about the transience of life as much as Christmas. Christmas is an adjustment which is never made. It is the most sensitive time of the year, a time of fragile emotions. A little town of Bethlehem says all our emotions are focused on Bethlehem. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. But Christmas celebrations must go beyond nostalgia. The real Christmas is not in your home or anyone else's, even a Christian home, but in the church, where the incarnation of the Son of God is actualized in the liturgy with the reading of Luke's gospel culminating in the Lord's Supper. Christmas is church. The true Christmas story is, now in those days there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And the true Christmas feast is the Holy Communion. Luther put the Virgin Mary, Christ, the atonement for sins, and the Lord's Supper in one line of his communion hymn. The body born of Mary bears our sins, pleads for us before God, and is devoured by hungry sinners. It is a necessary continuity. The Eucharistic altar becomes its own Bethlehem, and in certain senses, a superior one, because he who was held in his mother's arms in one place is now eaten and devoured by millions of believers everywhere. Finally, we see the universality of the incarnation. It is no longer anymore a matter of once upon a time and one place called Bethlehem, but now it is, we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, Lord Heavenly Father. The presence of Christ in the supper is not a series of isolated, disconnected miracles, but a Christological continuing of Bethlehem. He who was made flesh for us by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary remains flesh for us. Bethlehem means the house of bread, and this is exactly what our altar is, the house of bread. He who promised to give his flesh for the life of the world now gives his flesh as bread. The true pilgrimage to Bethlehem is made to the altar to receive the living bread. The Eucharist is not something which we do, but it is what Christ is doing among us in the midst of his worshiping congregation. Every Eucharist is Christmas all over again. Gathering around the Christmas tree, even if we attempt to make it religious by reading Luke 2, simply will not do. Christmas has to go beyond caroling and lighting candle services and children's services. Children are living reminders. that God includes them in his kingdom as believers. Without any prodding or any courses, they lead others to Christ. They remind us that he who was the Almighty God came as a child, and the Spirit who conceived him creates faith in their hearts. But Christmas is for that holy child who, by becoming our brother, made God our Father. Christmas is the Mass of Christ. In his communion, he is again flesh among us. Trivial familiarity must be banished. Appropriate is the old English with all its inaccessible archaisms. The contemporary is totally out of place. Unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. Now in those days there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. All this was done to fulfill which was spoken by the prophet, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, art not the least among the thousands of Judah." Incarnation is the all-encompassing event. What is ancient takes precedent. The incarnation comes from outside of our history and changes it completely. Incarnation is not simply one event among many, but it is the only event that matters. He lights everyone who comes into the world. Finally born is the true Adam. Since we have eaten the Word made flesh, he can look upon us and say, "Flesh of my flesh." Like Eve, we are taken from his side, but by the Holy Communion, we are put back into his side so that we become his body. We are not crumbs scattered across the face of the earth, but we are gathered as one loaf into his holy body. The Christmas Holy Communion should come as close to that midnight hour as possible to symbolize that the light is finally shining on those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. In him was light, and the light was the life of men. In the Holy Communion, his glorified body is transfigured into bread. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world is now living bread for the world. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty and everlasting God. For in the mystery of the Word made flesh, thou hast given us a new revelation of thy glory, that seeing thee in the person of thy Son, we may be drawn to the love of those things which are not seen. And in the lateness of the approaching midnight hour, the congregation is caught between the mysteries of incarnation and Eucharist. It is caught between Bethlehem and the altar. And what a blessed confusion. We are drawn through bread into Bethlehem and in finally into paradise. I am the bread of life who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Is this bread the child in the manger? Or is this bread in the pastor's hand? And in the mysterious fusion of incarnational and Eucharistic language, we see him coming on the clouds of heaven. For as often as you eat this bread, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. He came, he comes, he is coming. Lift up your heads. Your redemption is drawing nigh. One mysterious coming flowing into another so that there is only one Christological mystery, a confusion of past, present, and future tenses, but only one Christ. He who came still comes and is coming now in judgment. Stir up thy mighty power, O Lord, and come so that we may be saved from the threatening perils of our sins. Come as the child of Mary, come as the bread of heaven, come as the judge of all. You kneel at the Christmas communion with Mary, his mother, with Joseph, shepherds, and wise men. The altar is your Bethlehem. You kneel with angels. It is your heaven. And in the Eucharistic moment, we are superior to angels. The bread of heaven, whom they worship, we worship, venerate, and eat. He who was made lower than the angels to share in our miserable substance. He is not like the angels. He is like us. And now in the Holy Communion, we share in his substance. It is reciprocal. It is the great exchange. Our nature becomes his so that his nature can become ours. Still, angels say they claim a higher right because they see him and we do not. But theirs is only a temporary advantage. When at last our eyes shall see him through his own redeeming love, that's the cause of endless rapture. And through each of our five senses, the first Christmas is reimposed with God's liturgy, which no profane hand dare alter. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men. The Verbo is spoken, the Agnus Dei is sung, the Pax Domini, the peace of the Lord be with you. Jesus has come again. Again it is Christmas on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Solomon's problem is finally overcome. The one who cannot be contained either in his temple or in God's heaven is now contained in Jesus, who has shown he is God's temple. Jesus is our only heaven. The God who humbled himself in the most severe of all humilities to take his life from Mary now becomes part of you, and you become part of him. He takes our mortality, and we take his immortality. Speaking of exchanging gifts, mystery of all mysteries, mysteries in collision with one another, with one mystery colliding and falling upon another mystery until we are eschatologically propelled from ordinary existence into the magnificence of his judgment. The communion is not only Christmas. It is the dawn of his glorious judgment when every knee shall kneel and confess that he is the Lord. It would be good if the intro for the Christmas Eucharist was also its conclusion. When it was still and it was midnight, thine almighty word, O Lord, descended from the royal throne. Here's Christmas. Here is the Holy Communion. Here is the day of our redemption.